latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
This year's Kentucky Derby is wide open. Horse players will need all the help they can get. Begin your quest for the first Saturday in May success with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 26th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeyer, XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel, and Millie Ball, Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi, Santa Anita's John White, and At the Races radio host Steve Vick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version available May 2nd. Go to ExpressBet.com to get the guide, to open a new account, and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit DRF.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-464.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, back to Churchill Downs, 30 minutes to close out this Thursday. And as we look to Doug and Nick to get us going into these this last segment, a quick note about yesterday. You had the maiden in the third race, the two-year-old group, that saw Ms. Headley, the first winner for the Big Beast, out of a trippy mare bred by Libby and Ron Gay, and congratulations to a couple of familiar owners, Mike Puich and Christina Helm. And how great. Ms. Headley, winner at First Asking, of course, with the two-year-olds and Big Beast. First of what's going to be a few winners. He's going to be... He's going to be a, looks like a, based on what we saw at the two-year-old sale at OBS, it looks like he's going to be okay as a stallion. And then, of course, in the stake, you had a fairly big upset considering, of course, Nia Beth ended up scratching Wesley Ward did, but you ended up with two of the longest shots on the board, the second the longest and the third longest, 27-1, rookie Salsa coming out of Laurel for Jeremiah, Jerry O'Dwyer, and of course we talked to O'Dwyer earlier this winter, starting to really find the range as a horseman. The clients designated Hitters Racing with this two-step Salsa colt that was actually bred by Mikhail Yanikov and the familiar Olympia Star operation. That you see start quite a few horses. So big upset there. And Two Dot, John Hancock, does a tremendous job with the young horses with a big, big exacta here. How about a $732 exacta? So that was yesterday. Today, Thurby action. You've got the two small stakes, opening verse and the Unbridled Sydney. And otherwise, just a kind of a meat and potatoes kind of card. Doug Salvatore is joining us from Erie, getting ready for things to get started at Presque Isle. And we can't start the Triple Crown without a visit from Dougie Sal. Doug, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Tremendous. And how about you and the bride? When is that? When is Dougie Jr. arriving?
There's plans. They're coming soon. The bride's doing great too. She's putting me through a tough week. We got the racing coming back here at Presque Isle. Got to go out in the mornings, and then she's scheduling doctor's appointments, laser eye surgery, everything. So I'm I'm losing my mind. She's got me running around so much.
Well,
but everything's going okay. And I saw a nice Big Beast 2-year-old. You were mentioning the Big Beast. I saw a real nice Big Beast 2-year-old out here training this morning. So they're definitely, I think Tony Dutrow had that horse, didn't he?
He sure did for some of the nicest people in the game, Alex Lieblong and Joanne. And Alex has actually, I think, been outbid on a few Big Beasts. I thought he was going to buy every single one that went through the ring. But he's been dissuaded, and he's actually put his hand down a couple of times. So he's going to be a good sire. And he was a big, imposing, beautiful horse, of course, a King's Bishop winner. Dougie, what are you doing? Who do you got? Whose book are you going to be handling this spring?
I've got Eddie Dominguez and Nate Vickers. I had a deal Ayala last year. We finished third in the standings. I don't take book in the winter, so he's graduated to top agents now. So he's got the leading agent. So we're rebuilding and reloading. But I got Eddie Dominguez, who had a great meet last year, won 47 races. At all the riders in the top 10, he was on the fewest favorites too. So he really got a lot of run out of his horses. And I got Nate Vickers. So that's that should keep me busy this summer for sure.
Well, and Doug, of course, certainly will be knocking on doors of trainers, picking out live horses for his two riders. And if you want what is undoubtedly the best handicapping jock agent at Presque Isle, follow both of Doug's riders, Eddie Dominguez and Nate Vickers. I love it. Dougie, let's talk about Derby. And this thing obviously got sideways a little bit late yesterday with the favorite coming out. How did you view it going in, and what has changed in your mind with Omaha Beach absent from this group?
Well, I mean, it was it was something to see the morning line favorite defect. I mean, one of those unfortunate things, but we've seen stuff like that in recent years, yet I Want Revenge scratch in the morning of the race.
Yep.
Mind That Bird wanted Escondrea after that great Wood Memorial performance scratched. I was going to bet against Omaha Beach anyway. To me, he was a throwout. So I think that defection, to me, that defection plays a big part of the pace scenario. To me, the pace scenario is a very hard read for this race, Steve. Who do you think is going to the lead?
I got a feeling Vekoma is going to end up on the lead, and we're hearing. Peter Miller might say one thing and tell Drayden Van Dyke another, but he says Grey Magician is going to try to rate somewhat War of Will. Even if another horse does come out, we'll wait till tomorrow morning to see about Heichel and the Abscess. Even if War of Will moves from the one hole to the two hole, he still is going to be forced to get an early position. The Maximum Security doesn't have, I don't think, the speed or really even the interest or the training coming into this to necessarily go right for the lead. Baffert told me yesterday he thinks that's the only way that he can be successful is to go for the lead. So, and Improbable, may be aggressive in the mornings, but I don't think that Baffert and Arad Ortiz necessarily want to go after the lead. Spinoff's going to come marauding down with Manny Franco from outside, but I think Vekoma ends up being able to control the speed up front.
I'm a pace figure guy, and looking at all the pace figures, they say that. I just don't know if that's what Javier is going to want to do. I think you're right with War of Will drawing inside. He's got to go. But Maximum Security is a horse that's just absolutely fascinating to me. I'm going to tweet out a lot of my thoughts once I get into handicapping these races deeper. If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, it's at Dougie Sal. I'm going to do some YouTube videos. But Maximum Security is a horse. I looked at his pedigree. He had that 7-furlong race at Gulfstream where he won the allowance race by like 19 lengths and got 102 buyer. I have never seen a young horse get a triple-digit buyer where you go to their pedigree. It's coming from a sprint, and you cannot find one sprinter in that pedigree. Every horse, top and bottom in that pedigree, I believe he's by New Year's Day, who
Correct.
Was a horse,
yeah.
a son of Street Cry, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile from way off the pace. A Baffert horse only run three times, never ran again, out of a mare named like... The damn sorry, I think is like Anna She. Anna, what is it? What's the pronunciation on that horse? It's an AP Indy horse.
Which one? The dam, you mean?
Damn sire, yeah. Name's Lil Indy. It's out of a
right.
Anna
Sheed. An Anna Sheed.
Yeah.
Anna Sheed mare. Yeah.
Yeah. The pedigree on Maximum Security is such that he should have absolutely no early speed. Shouldn't be able to outrun a goat in a sprint race. It is mystifying to me how that horse was as good a sprinter as he was. And in the Florida Derby, he got things his own way. It wasn't a jaw-dropping performance by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he got a little pressure in the middle of the race from the real good Mott three-year-old, the real talented Mott three-year-old that hasn't necessarily panned out. They tried to raid him inside, and he kind of the middle pace of the Florida Derby got forced a little bit, but that race was like a merry-go-round where they were 1-2. But I have a feeling that if Maximum Security, if they try for the lead and they let that horse have the lead, he gets the lead, they're not going to catch him. I mean, that's a horse I've been eyeing for the Belmont Stakes. I could see if he goes 48-3 or something. In a race like the Belmont, that horse will run absolutely all day. I mean, it is one of the most slanted to route pedigrees I've ever seen. You can't find a sprinter anywhere in there. And to see a horse in its third race running triple-digit figure sprinting, that's a horse that I'm kind of very intrigued by. But I think the horse has to have the lead, probably, and he's not very quick. If you look at the pace figures,
right?
He's just, you know, nowhere as quick as a horse like Vekoma. But, you know, if he breaks good, they use him coming out of the gate. The other riders are, you know, worried about the distance and are just going to let him go. Basically a repeat of what happened in the Florida Derby. If that scenario plays out, they're never going to catch this horse. But the likelihood of that scenario playing out is, not high percentage. Game Winner and Code of Honor are two horses that I think are rock solid. I love them both. I think they're going to be there.
Game Winner, Code of Honor. Do you want to include Maximum in the mix?
Yeah, to me, he's going to be a horse that I'm going to, in my exotic tickets, I'm going to put him in the top slot. I'm probably not going to use him underneath too much.
Yeah.
If he gets burned up front, or if he can't get his trip, I don't think, I don't know what he's going to do. I can't say he's going to not run well, but if he somehow winds up on the lead and not taking pressure, he'll destroy this field, in my opinion. I think he's got another forward move in him from the Florida Derby. But the chances of him being on a lead without taking much pressure, I think are probably, what would you say, about 15-20% chance that happens?
I think that's fair. And, to see what he did, I kept talking about War Emblem, Doug, in the wake of the Florida Derby, that was the impression I got watching him. I was there that day, and I had the exact same feeling on the backstretch halfway through the race. I said, this is War Emblem, and he's not going to get caught. And that to see a horse go faster with each eighth, that's impressive.
Yeah, the War Emblem race was at Sportsman's Park. I loved Repent that year. Repent was second in the Illinois Derby to him. I thought Repent was just a, you know, blue-chip Derby prospect. He'd be the horse to beat in the Derby. And War Emblem just poured it on. Got 114 buyer, I believe. And War Emblem was trained by an Illinois trainer. What was it, Frank Springer, maybe? Or?
Frank Springer had him for Russell Reinman. And then, of course, after the Illinois Derby, purchased by Prince Saman. And he didn't get his Derby with Point Given. But he ended up in the fascinating part about that is, of course, that it turned into four straight wins in Triple Crown races for Baffert and Prince Saman.
Yeah, the Thoroughbred Corporation, they were called, I believe. It was Point Given won the Preakness. He won the Belmont by a city block, and then War Emblem was 20-1 in the race, and that 114 last out buyer he had was like 12 points higher than any, and he was going first time Baffert. I mean, it was one of those things looking back where if you just pulled the past performances for that race and looked at it today, I don't know if the horse would be 20 to 1 today, just for the simple fact, I mean, his last out figure towered over the field, and he was first time Baffert, and Baffert didn't have anything that year. It was almost like he kind of went out and bought a Derby winner. You know, he had a down year, and that horse freaked in the Illinois Derby at Sportsman's Park and got the big number, and Baffert went out and had him in his barn for, 2 weeks maybe, and he just run him off their feet on the front end with Vic Espinosa.
Exactly right. Well, Doug, any other closing thoughts?
I'm going to have a bunch of some videos and some plays up this week on Twitter for, maybe within the next day or two. But the Kentucky Oaks, there's so much speed in the race. I think it's going to melt down. I just haven't figured which horse in there is going to benefit from the pace meltdown. That to me is, there's three different horses I'm looking at. The Larry Jones horse is interesting. I don't know if Sophie Doyle will take that horse back. I'd love to see that horse taken back in the race and, you know, try to make a late run. But I'm not going to tell, you know, Larry Jones can do what he wants. He's a great trainer. But that horse has some intrigue to me. But to me, the Oaks, there's too much speed in there. The pace has to collapse. But good luck finding closer is going to benefit from it.
The ones that keep coming up are Chocolate Kisses and Champagne Anyone. I mean, that feels like, you know, the pair that that, you know, gives you the angle on this race. I can tell you too that Lady Apple doing fabulous, and Andy Beyer, the first person to commit to out for a spin. The first time I've heard her name mentioned as a winner in this group.
Is there any chance that there's going to be a scratch in the race? I know it. The Chad Brown horse,
oh, yeah.
The first one, well, on the AE, looks interesting, too.
She is. The Dunbar Road. Yeah, absolutely, Doug. There's real interest. And right now, knock on wood, there's no fillies that are hinting at anything in terms of being a withdrawal. It's strictly the boys' side where we're waiting for Heichel. Heichel's got an abscess that may prevent him from running. So that's but the Philly side right now has been okay. But I said this yesterday about the boys, and 5 hours later out came Omaha Beach.
Yeah, you never know, that's for sure.
Doug, we're going to wrap up. I've got Darren Rogers and Son Davis for the annual Thurby visit, but I take a real quick minute. I told everybody Friday about Joe Silverio, and he adored you. He looked up to you and learned so much from you, and so many people that either knew him in real life or only via Derby Trail, really heartbroken.
Yeah, a very sad thing. I think he was born in 1985, so he's only about, 33 years old. And I'd get messages from him all the time. I mean, just very, very passionate, dedicated, better. He was always looking, to the next race and always looking to, hit a pick four. So, I mean, very sad. He was young and, it was surprising news.
Yeah,
because he was just messaging me a week ago, and I had no idea that he had the health problems he did.
No, I know, and but he hung on your opinion, you and Andy, and he came such a long way in 10, 12 years in learning the game, and became a very good player. And when you say dedicated and passionate, that's really accurate. Doug, we're going to catch up with you during the Presque Isle season. And, of course, the weekend also marks the opening of Arlington Park and Canterbury this weekend, Monmouth as well. And it's not summer yet, but it's going to be soon, and I don't know. I guess we didn't get our Quaker steak, cheese steak, or steak and shake visit in at some point soon.
This is the year, Steve. This is the year.
Doug Salvatore, everybody, follow Dougie Sal, and he'll have links to his videos, and they'll be fascinating. They'll be amusing. They'll be lucrative for you, Doug. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug Salvatore at Presque Isle Downs, and right back here for a Thurby tradition like no other, Davis Rogers. And Davis drafted by several professional sports teams in several sports, baseball and basketball, and beach volleyball even. Golf, that's right, being recruited by Rollins College in Florida and others. You know Rollins? You might end up in Rollins as a golf team. Darren. And Darren, nice job earlier handling some stupid questions to Richard Mandela, who soldiered through.
Richard Mandela is an absolute class act. Just gut wrench for him and his entire team back at the barn. I know how high they were on this horse. I personally, that was my Derby horse. I'm scrambling a little bit myself. But it just wasn't meant to be.
And we're not gonna dwell on it. We've got 20 as of right now. The Heichel, we'll have a decision on Heichel.
I'm hearing, within the 24 hours. He wants to, watch how everything develops. So I wouldn't expect anything today regarding Heichel.
But they would have to make. Do they? They don't have
scratch
to,
time is 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. They can make the decision before. It doesn't really impact anybody because the also eligible is in.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then we went through what would happen to the gate should Heichel leave the field.
Yep.
Let's talk about the task at hand, and the Omaha Beach threw Davis off as well. And, you know, for those of you that are hearing Davis Rogers for the first time, he's been picking the Derby winner basically every year almost since Orb. And, you know, if you don't like Davis's selection, you don't like money.
What'd you say last year?
If you don't like Justify, you don't like winning. That's what he did. He won the Triple Crown.
You're damn right. And who else? You had Orb with us. You had American Pharoah. Yep.
Nyquist.
Nyquist yep. was a great pick. Nyquist was a great pick. Absolutely was.
Mm-hmm. A lot of pressure, son.
I know.
Who's the Derby horse this year?
Well, I mean, right now I got War of Will. He looked really great this morning
on his runs. Yes, he is.
And then, I can never say this name.
Plus que parfait?
No. Tacitus?
Tacitus. Tacitus. He looked good this morning as well. Right now, those are my two horses. But War of Will has a terrible draw for the one spot. But Tacitus is right in the middle of it. So, I don't know. It's going to be a close Derby this year with the favorite gone.
Feels like it. And would you have picked Omaha Beach had he stayed in?
Yeah, I'd pick Omaha and probably another horse as well.
No Baffert this year, huh?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
All right.
How about that?
Didn't really see any good horses out of Bob this year.
All right. Okay. All right. He's
tell you what,
man.
He's not pulling any punches.
13-year-olds, man. They speak the truth.
Exactly. It's unfiltered. It's unfiltered. Yeah. Who else? Anybody else coming into the weekend you're looking to, you've been looking forward to playing? Any of the...
You didn't really have an Oaks horse.
Yeah, I didn't really have an Oaks horse.
Who do you root for, though? When you're at the track, you come out to the track, who are your favorite, like, jockeys and trainers that you know?
Well, I know Bob Baffert, and then we're good friends with Corey Lannery and Brian Hernandez and Robbie Alvarado and people like them. So, like, I could, if I see them that they're riding a horse in a race I don't even know, I'll just bet on them.
Yeah, just for action. Just an action bet.
See,
absolutely.
What about the trainers? Who are your favorite trainers? Like that live here that we know?
Mike Maker and then Bob Baffert, really the only two I know.
What about Dallas Stewart?
Oh, yeah.
Big D.
Yeah, Big Dallas. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a 13-year-old. I forget sometimes.
God, I love
I'm
it.
48. I forget sometimes.
Unbelievable.
So don't worry about it.
What's your handicap? What are you down to on the golf course?
Tell them about how did you do last season in the golf season at age 13?
Well, we went undefeated as a team.
How about that?
And I started off to a slow start, but during state, I tied for the best score at state.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy cow.
And what are you hitting this year in baseball? This is dad brag time. What are you hitting right now?
Is it like 4 what? Like
467.
467?
Not that I'm keeping track.
467?
Yeah, between the two teams, playing for the middle school and the travel team.
The Jason Service of Pony Coley.
Well, yeah.
Darren, before we wrap, your final four. You got a final four?
I'm not going to give you a final four. I'm gonna go on Tacitus.
Yeah, he's copying me because he doesn't know who to do.
I'm with Davis on this one. You know, there's so much speed to the inside.
Yeah.
And you know, we know Maximum Security is gonna go. One would think War of Will and Tax have to go from the 1 and 2 hole. Gray Magician's gonna be hot involved in this pace.
Although Peter Miller's
he's got to get position.
Yeah,
right?
I hear you.
I just think we're going to have a quick pace, and if that's the case, I could see a Tacitus sliding mid pack on the inside rail. Now he's going to have to be good. He's going to have to mature from a mental standpoint. And he's going to have to get lucky, weaving his way through traffic. But I've loved the way he looks. I didn't like that workout the other day, but you know what? He's never been much of a good workhorse. I remember when he got drilled by Hidden Scroll this winter, and I thought he had no shot going into the Tampa Bay Derby. And then he jumped up and won it. So I'm gonna guess that maybe he's an Allen Iverson practice type. But I don't like practice.
That's a good line. Really?
But he does. I know. Hey, sorry, son.
You're comparing basketball to horse racing.
Well, you never know.
There's parallels.
Anyway, I think this horse is going to be the right price. And selfishly, I do have a wager on him at 96-1 in pool two.
Now it comes to cash
for $4,800. And I really hope. That'd be a fun little run, and I know my good friend John Asher. Yeah. He'd be rooting for William I. Mott, one of the greatest trainers to ever compete beneath the Twin Spires. So, hoping Tacitus gets the job done.
Well, as always, a tremendous visit. We'll take the annual picture. People will be able to judge Davis growing on the internet forever. Darren and we probably tomorrow will be nuts for you. Thanks for everything. It's been a tremendous fortnight as always, and I know we're gonna have to deal with some weather, but it'll be a great Oaks and Derby.
Yeah, hey, we're used to bad weather, unfortunately, but we'll get through it. And by the way, yeah, it's Louisville. Welcome to Louisville, and you know, stay tuned. And maybe I think tomorrow. Well, tomorrow might be all right. Might be okay. We're gonna get some here in just a few minutes.
I forgot a horse.
Oh, who else? You like?
I forgot. Improbable.
All right.
Oh, so you do like Baffert?
There we go. He got Baffert in.
That's
good job.
That's Baffert. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, he looked good this morning.
Yeah, he did.
Really
he was much
well.
More controlled this morning.
Yeah. He didn't look sore like most of the horses.
Oh, whoa! Hey now.
That's off air stuff.
Dude, that's so great. I feel like Art Linkletter. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Father and son, the Rogers together again on Thurby. We have to work on a new nickname for Wednesday and Tuesday. We're going to come up with a clever thing for Churchill Downs. We've got about 2 minutes, and I know we didn't get thanks, fellas. I know we didn't get to Nick for a full fledged, but we will have Nick Tamaro tomorrow for certainly all the Saturday. Nick, I just wanted to get to you for a quick Oaks for people that might not listen to hear the Friday action between now and. Tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I certainly think that this is a compelling Oaks just from the standpoint of there not being a standout beyond Bellafina, who I think we all have our doubts about. I'm going to play for a fast pace, and I'm going to bet Chocolate Kisses. I think Chocolate Kisses was on a bit of a dead inside last time and didn't really have much of a chance anyway, given the track profile of Keeneland that day. So I don't think a little rain will hurt her at all, given her turf inclination. So I'm gonna try Chocolate Kisses at hopefully every bit of that 20-1. Maybe use a couple of others in the multi race plays. Hope for the fast pace that looks like it should shape up.
Agreed. Who else should be on the multi race tickets?
I can't exclude Motion to Motion, who I think is the speed of the speed. And even though there is other pace in here, she just might be the fastest of them all. I hope that they don't try the foolish tactic I've heard is possible of raiding her. I don't know why you'd run a horse in a race like this and not use their best weapon. I'm going to use Bellafina. I'm not going to be beaten by Bellafina. I am going to also find a way to get Lady Apple on the tickets and Champagne Anyone. Other than that, I think pretty much anybody else on NI lose.
No, that feels like a good group. I agree. One or two more from tomorrow, just in case. I mean, anything
else? I like the one horse in the sixth race. I kid, of course. That's newspaper of record. should be very tough. It's somewhere around 1-5. I'm intrigued by the La Troyenne. I think she's a Julie is an up and coming type, and I thought her comeback race earlier this year at Oaklawn was terrific. And I think she's versatile enough to be a little bit off the pace if we see Aw Emma and Divine Miss Gray show a great deal of pace. So I'm looking forward to seeing She's Julie step up in competition, and I can't wait to watch the Twin Spire Search Sprint. Not much of a betting race, but I think if you get a World of Trouble Bound for Nowhere of Showdown early on, that's going to be it's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Absolutely.
What's a good time tomorrow for you?
Whatever's a good time for you. You're a busier man than me.
Nick Tamaro, NTAM 1215, everybody. I wanted to make sure you got the top line for Friday, and we'll get his full Saturday assault when we talk tomorrow. Jolan was on the board today. You might not have realized that. Casey back in hospital, and we're thinking about him. And she'll get the archive up as soon as possible. 6 to 9, replay tomorrow. I want to thank Davis and Darren and Nick, Doug Salvatore, Mike Welsh, Lenny and Steve, of course, Sid Fernando and Scott Shapiro, Ed DeRosa, James Scully, and I think that's our team. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Oaks Day.